Baruch Chaim, Parshas Kisisa, Tavshin Ayin Zayin. Kisisa es Rosh. We'll start with the first piece. Kisisa es Rosh. Someone pass me a full chamish, please. I'm sorry. Kisisa es Rosh. Tzarech ledas tam amru tisa, velo amar tifkod ka amru b'mate levi. Thank you. Kisisa is a very unusual lashon to use to describe the counting of something. Many times we find that we're talking about counting things, assessing the amounts of things or the number of things. Kisisa es Rosh b'nei Yisrael lefkudehem. When you take a census of the children of Israel according to their numbers, right? Rashi says, based on Unkelis says, Arese kabel yas chushvan. Rashi says, Lashon Kabbalah. Tisa is a hard word to translate. Normally, when we think of Tisa, we think of it, Kisisa es Rosh means to lift up their heads. Now, why is that the phrase that you use to describe counting someone? Why not say Tifkod, like it says by Matei Levi? Rashi says the Archaim HaKadosh in Bamidbar Perek Gimel. Question number one. Question number two, why does it say Es Rosh? Beis Omro Es Rosh, Velo Hispik Lomar Kisisa Es Bnei Yisrael. Again, Sisa itself is an unusual lashon for counting. And to say Kisisa es Rosh, why don't you just say Kisisa es Bnei Yisrael? What does it mean to count the heads of Bnei Yisrael? Especially since we don't actually count heads. If we want to count heads, the Torah is going to tell us people should give a half shekel, and we'll count half shekels. So what does it mean Kisisa es Rosh Bnei Yisrael? That's question number two. She'ein lomar, it can't be that Hashem is commanding to count only their heads, because as the psukim go on, that's not true. Right? The psukim go on and contradict that and deny that. We don't count Jews by their heads. We count Jews by their half shekel donations. And lastly, question number three, Gimel. Tzarech ledas kavanas omro lifkudehem. We need to understand what it means. Kisisa, when you count, lifkudehem, according to their number. What does that mean, to count according to their number? What does that shoresh, pei, kuf, dalet imply, other than this repetition of counting? V'yizbar akosav alpi divrei hamzal, and we can explain perhaps as follows. This is a very, I think, this piece of Aruch Chaim HaKadosh offers a lot of chizuk to a Jew. Because what happens when a person doesn't have era? What happens when a person doesn't have era? Ki achote gorim becheto kfifas rosho. When a person does a sin, it causes his head to be kafuf, lowered, suppressed. A person's embarrassed sometimes to literally pick up their face. Embarrassed to look someone in the eye. Embarrassed to carry themselves like a person who has confidence. Because sometimes a person does an avera and they feel crushed by the avera. They feel weighed down by the avera. And he says the body's physical response to sin is actually very much connected to the spiritual reality of sin. The spiritual reality of sin is that when a person is involved in Ra, he's attaching himself to Artzius, to physicality, to this world. He's lowering his perspective because he's getting caught up in things of this world. His whole approach to self, his respect for himself and allowing himself to do an aveira, is shvela, is lowly. So therefore the body physically, maybe physiologically, is responding to that, and a person lowers his head. Because he's saying, that's where I'm holding in a low place. Right? It's not just an emotional response, it's a spiritual/emotional response. That because he's attached himself to his lower element, his body as opposed to his soul, he becomes lowered. And physically he lowers his face. We've said in the past that face, right, the name Hebrew word for face, panim, is similar to pnim, to one's pnimius. So the lowering of one's head and one's face, the neshama which resides in one's brain, according to some, even though the Gemara Bracha says the neshama fills the whole body, but when we put on our tefillin, we say that the neshama resides in the malach. So when a person lowers his head, he lowers his face, he's saying, my pnimius has been lowered. I've attached myself to low things. Ubechinas kedusha, he nesias rosh va'aram, samhos va'echus. When a person attaches to kedusha, that's lifting things up. Not just in a spiritual sense, but physically. You feel like you're, you know, a tefach off the ground. You're able to lift up your head. You're able to carry yourself. with a sense of pride and a sense of dignity. V'timsa shamer kasu v'yakam stay Ephron. Hadu chazal darshin v'yakam stay Ephron. That Ephron's field went up. What does it mean? It went up. So Chazal explained, yes, ki ma'aisalo, the field of Ephron, also known as Maris Machpelah, had an elevation. How did it have an elevation? Because it got connected with Avram Avinu. And if you attach yourself to Kedusha, you get lifted up. So the field of Ephron got lifted up. I don't know if that means Ephron's field flew off the ground, or those who had spiritualized to see saw that Ephron's field was lifted up, but Maris HaMachpelah became lifted as it attached itself, as it became the property of Avram Avinu. If you remember in Parshas Yisro, I'm just thinking now, if you remember in Parshas Yisro, when we got the Torah, remember that piece of the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, that the mountain lifted itself up? Remember that piece?
To meet Hashem.
That the mountain jumped up, right? The mountain jumped up to meet Hashem. Exactly, the mountain itself lifted itself up in order to move towards Hashem. Because it was excited, I'm not looking at my back. It was excited to connect to Hashem. I don't remember where the Lashon was. I'm not seeing it. Okay, but here it is. The mountain came alive, yeah. Kishi Yarad Hashem, Perish. Kishi Hischil Lohrim. As Hashem was coming down, right? But the mountain jumped up like a servant running to its master. That's the magnetic pull of Kedusha that the Ruach Haim HaKadosh is describing here. So when a Jew is feeling good about himself because he's doing the right things, he feels lifted up, and he physically looks up. When the hands of Moshe were up, we defeat Amalek. When the hands of Moshe are down, we lose. Says the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, do the hands of Moshe win wars or lose wars? No, it's a question of perspective. When a Jew attaches his eyesight, and again, the neshama is also connected to the eye, to the mind and to the eye, which are one and the same. When a person's eyes are looking towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then of course it has success. He's attaching himself to Kedusha. And when a person is looking down, it's a sign that he's involved in negative behavior. And by the way, this is a good way to kind of read a person. You know, to read a person in terms of if you're a good friend and you see your friend is walking around with his head hung low, right? Again, it's not just that he's having a tough time. It might be indicative of being nichshol in averos or feeling bad spiritually. And again, the gravitational pull of the aretz is causing him to, so to speak, lower his head. So when Avram acquired the field of Ephron, the field jumped up. Vayakum stay Ephron. Even though these psukim, as we encounter them in the Kriya Satorah, appear before the Egel, the collecting of these shkalim is really the response to the Egel. This takes place after the Egel. So really what's happening here is Kisisa Sosh Bnei Yisrael. You can only imagine how depressed Klal Yisrael were after the Maisa Egel. V'hu mash amr ki sis la lashon nesias rosh. Lift up your head. Al derech omro yisa paros roshcha. Right? That when Yosef predicts that power is going to raise up your head. Don't be depressed. You're going to get out of this dungeon. And you're going to go back to serving power. You're going to be appointed a position of prominence. Shu lashon ma'ala. Pick up the heads of the Jewish people. Hashem says to Moshe, pick up the heads of the Jews. Tell the Jew, you don't have to walk around with your head hung low. Yes, you committed a terrible avla, you did the egel, but there's always room for tshuva. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu is being told, to help Klal Yisrael, to mechaze Klal Yisrael. Pick up their heads. Tell them that there's life after sin. That it's possible for a Jew to bounce back. You got to give a shekel. Shekel is gematria nefesh, the Sfarim say. You got to rededicate your soul. What did the shekel look like when Hashem showed Moshe the shekel? It was marbeah shel esh. A yid has to be a fire. A yid is not on fire. Malik. So that's Sfarim say. You take Yisrael, take the name Yisrael. Yisrael is lashon of srara, lashon of prominence. Kisisas rosh b'nei Yisrael. When a Yid knows he's a Yisrael, when he's an elevated person, a Sar means an officer, a prince, a nobleman. If you take Yisrael, that's what I'm saying, you take the Eish out of Yisrael, take the fire out of Yisrael, what are you left with?
Malik.
541 minus 301 is 240 is a Malik. A Yid who's not on fire, Shakarcha Baderach, Kriyas of a Malik. It's a cold thing. So that's why Hashem showed Moshe Matbeya Shel Esh. Moshe says, I don't know how to make the shekel. What does it look like? I never minted my own coins before. So Hashem shows him Matbeya Shel Esh, a fiery coin. What's the pshat? Shekel is gematria nefesh. Right? A Matbeya Shel Esh means a soul that's on fire. That's the tikkun for the ekel. Don't allow yourself to become cold. Don't allow yourself to become depressed. Pick your head up and be prepared to go weiter. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Kayin. It's really nice that I'm adding all these things when we have like 1,000 pieces of Arachayim HaKadosh should do. Alright, we'll see. I guess we'll see what the schedule lends itself to. But I have to just share this part, because when Kayin did a very low thing, he murdered his brother, right? Kayin v'al minchasa lo shah, v'yicha l'kayin ma'od v'yiplu panov. What does the Pasuk say by Kayin? It says in Bereishis, Perek Dalet Pasuk Hay, that Kayin's face was what? Was hung low. His countenance had fallen. V'yomer Hashem al Kayin, Lama charalach v'lama naflu fanecha. Why is your head held low? Don't you realize that in a certain sense is even worse than your Avera? Because if you start to adopt a perspective of looking down, then you're in big trouble. A Jew has to be able to pick up his head. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu says to, Hashem says to Moshe, even after Cheira Egel, a Yid has to pick up his head. Like the Nesiva Shalom always brings from different tzaddikim, from Rav Moshe of Kabrin, from the Basai, and different tzaddikim, that a Jew who can't do an Avera, and immediately afterwards go and serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and daven a mincha with Kavana, 2 seconds later, doesn't know the first thing about Chassidus, and might not even know the first thing about Yiddishkeit. Sometimes they bring the mashal, if he's standing there over the dead body that he just killed and the sword is still dripping with blood, if you can't serve Hashem in that moment, if you can't drop that sword and run to the Beis Medrash, even though it sounds like a very strange image, but if you can't, if you think that any Avera makes it impossible for you to serve Hashem, then you don't know the first thing about Chassidus, and again, one nusach is you might not even know the first thing about Yiddishkeit. The Jew has to believe in his essential goodness, and even if he makes horrible mistakes, kisisas rosh, pick up your head and learn to go weiter. Okay, yes, I'm not taking so many questions today, but let's hear it. So that's what he's saying. He's saying, according to Rashi, according to Chazal, the psukim are not in order. So even though, yes, Chedego appears in the Parsha after this, but that's what he said. He said, the order, k'moshe diyeka kosabamu v'nasato so ala vodas al moed, which again, Amru Zechronim Levracha, Mikan Chenet Stava Limnosam Achar Maisa Egel. The counting of Bnei Yisrael took place after Chir Egel. Yes?
Just similarly, from Dhamma, like you tell about the stories of Bnei Gaon, when you tell like prisoners that like,
yes,
still make brachas.
Yes, you're still going to be held accountable for every bracha you don't make. You can't declare yourself off the derech and do whatever you want. Everything you do still matters. And that's the way of being Mechazik a Jew. Yes, that's in the Keser Rosh. Yes? Yes, there's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch that it's asur leilich b'kol mezukufa. You're not allowed to walk with an outstretched neck. That's a serious isser. It's asur, the lashon of asur in the Shulchan Aruch. Yeah. Right, we pointed out in the past. Wearing a yarmulke is a mitzvah chassidus. Walking with an outstretched neck is asur. Okay, obviously wearing a yarmulke became an accepted practice. Right, but it's more serious. It's more serious to walk around like a balgaiva with an outstretched neck than it is to walk with your head uncovered. You think, oh my gosh, it's so not from me. Walks around without a yarmulke. So you're right, we can't walk with an outstretched neck, but we have to walk around with our heads held up high to know who we are. Okay? Let's turn to Zayitnu. Pasuk Yud Gimel. The next pasuk. Zayitnu kol over ala pekudim machasis ha-shekel v'shekel ha-kodesh. So the Arachayim HaKadosh wants to know, quotes the Medrash Tanchuma, this is Perek Lamed Pasuk Yud Gimel, Dibur HaMaschil, Ze Yitnu. Chazal Amru in the Tanchuma, Lakach Kamin Matbeya Shal Eis Mitachas Kisei HaKavod, Ve'arau LaMoshe. Hashem took out, anyone who's got the page, just call it out. The next page, great. So Hashem showed Moshe from Tachas Kisei HaKavod, Amatbeya Shal Eish. Moshe says, I don't know how to make this coin. So Hashem says, oh, let me show you a fiery coin. So now I still don't know how to make the coin. I don't know how much it weighs. I don't really know what it looks like in terms of its material. Why would Hashem show him a fiery coin? We just explained B'derech Drush. But on a more pshat level, if Hashem wants to teach someone how to do something, why show him like a weird, like a strange picture of it? Why show him the real thing? give Moshe instructions how to make the Machzis HaShekel. Says the Rachayim HaKadosh V'Kasha, Halo Yoser Tia Niseges HaYediya Ba'amira Kishayom Elo HaMishkel B'Feirash. Why not tell him how much it's supposed to weigh explicitly? Mimashi Yakir B'Tav Nis'eish, why show him this strange picture of a fiery coin? Ki Ash'aras Shir Hadamos Lo Techakek B'Tzir L'Sha'er Ela El B'Smichus. Because based on this presentation, the way that he depicted the picture of it, right, Moshe would only be able to estimate, at best, he says, to take a good guess how much it actually should weigh. So perhaps we can begin to answer by asking another question. Why does Hashem want a half a shekel at all? Why not a shekel shalim? And more than that, Hashem is so precisely obsessed with the idea of a half a shekel that the Torah commands, Gam lama yitzav Hashem leval yosif ha'ashir. Let's say I'm a rich guy, why can't I give more than half a shekel? Ulaval yigra ha'ani, and if I'm so poor, why can't I give less than half a shekel? So he says, to explain all this, we need to understand really what happens when a person does an avera, and how the shekel is the response. Again, we explain Pasuk Yud Beis, ki sisa es rosh. We explained emotionally how one has to bounce back from an avera. But now we're going to explain a little bit deeper how the message of the half shekel, and the reason that Hashem is so committed to the half shekel, is really the response to sin. V'leseis tam, and to explain these questions, lebeis ha'arus, to explain these comments, these several points that I just made, niskavein Hashem va'amar lo ze yitnu. Hashem says, ze yitnu, this is what I want you to give. Da ki ein ikra inyin hu hanigla el hanister shezeh ba b'dimyono. Hashem shor matveh shal eis. Hashem says, I don't want to show you the exact shekel, a physical coin, because it's not just about a physical coin. I want you to recognize the matveh shal eish. I want you to recognize the spiritual message of that half shekel. Of course, I need to physically construct the half shekel, but I want you to recognize the nistar shabo, the hidden aspect of it, the neshama of the half shekel, more than the physical weight or value of the half shekel. Hashem says, don't get caught. It's not like you did an avera and then you give a little tzedakah and now you're good. You have to understand the neshama of the avera in order to mitaken the avera. Ukvar kasavnu b'kam makomos, ki shchinaso yisbarach shibachinas kisei kvodo yisbarach, ayidei maisa b'nei Yisrael, yisovu afrada. The Shechina, which says the Rechaim HaKadosh, could be referred to by the code word Kisei HaKavod. The Shechina's closeness or distance from Klal Yisrael will be determined by what? By our behavior. Hashem Tzilcha, Hashem is your shadow. That means the same way your shadow mimics you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mimics you. If you act cold and distant from God, guess what? Hashem is going to be cold and distant towards you. If you move away from Hashem, kiviyachol, and move away means a perspective of moving away, because there's really no such thing as physically moving away from Hashem. Lo chol aretz kavodo. But if you take on a presentation of self that I'm not interested in Hashem, so guess what? Hashem will respond to you the same way. So what does it mean Hashem took a matbeah shel eish from tachas kisei kvodo? That's where the coin was taken from. So he explains as follows. V'hu omro, this is what the Navi Yeshaya says, you were divorced in accordance with your sins. Hashem doesn't divorce Klal Yisrael. But there'll be a perspective of divorce in accordance with your sins. The distance will be created between us in accordance with your averos. Gam omro, it says in Mishlei, v'nirgan mafrid aluf. That when there's machlokas, it causes separation. Right? When there's discord in the relationship, obviously the parties move apart. The egel, which kipshuto was the vodazara, although we'll see the shita of the Rechaim HaKadosh about the egel, very simply, was a rejection of the entirety of the Torah. And therefore, what? And therefore, it caused a deep, deep separation in Nishmas Yisrael. There was an unbelievably deep period between Klal Yisrael and the Kadosh Baruch Hu that was caused by the Egel. So Hashem says, give a Machzis HaShekel, but understand the message of it more than the shekel itself. Understand the Matbeah Shel Eish. Understand the significance of Matbeah Shel Eish. Sheyitnu Machzis HaShekel Shu Simin L'ma Sheyifridu Hei B'Maseyem L'Shuv L'Yachdom Yachad. Why a half shekel? We ask the question. I'm rich, why can't I give more? I'm poor, why do I have to give so much? The answer is that message of a half shekel is the reminder that every aveira causes what? Things to be split. A half. A half. A half means something that's been split in two. Something which should be in a state of yichud, which is now in a state of pirud. Namely, asana kadosh baruch. We should be one with Hashem, but we've been pulled apart by the egel. So in order to make this point, to emphasize and to highlight this point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed a matabeya shel esh mitachas kisei kvodo. Kishom b'chinas sharshei nishmas b'nei Yisrael. You ever hear the concept that the neshama of a Jew is taken mitachas kisei kavod? What that means is, when Hashem shows you a matabeya shel esh from tachas kisei kvodo, and it's a fiery coin, but it's a broken coin. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or maybe Hashem was showing about a full coin, that was a fire, and right, and you have to present, you have to prepare now a machus, there's a half of that coin. What Hashem was saying, from the place of your neshama, mitachas kisei akamu, from the makon ashchina, from the place of attachment, of divine attachment, there's been a pirud. Va'amrlo zeyitnu. So Hashem says to Moshe, give like this, perish. Yachzor, let's say, sod machus ashekel shehifrid. Give the half shekel, meaning restore the half that's been pulled apart from the other half. This is the secret and the foundation of the matter. And this is the intention one has to have when you give the half shekel. And guess what? The kavana is the key here. It's not about giving a half a shekel as a donation to fix the egel. It's about understanding that the egel causes a separation on the level of souls. That our soul, which is tachas kisei hakavod, has been separated, has been cut in half from Hashem. And therefore, Rachmana Liba Bai, says the Rachaim HaKadosh, Hashem writes the Pesukim in a way to make sure that you don't lose sight of what's Ikar in being Metakin in this way. L'chavin El Mechuva, to have intention for this purpose. L'yachir HaNifrad V'Anechlak, to make sure that you focus on that which is separated and that which has been divided. And he goes on and he explains, this is the answer to our questions. This is the answer why the Ashir and the Ani have to both give exactly the half shekel. And this is the reason that it emphasizes Zayitnu. That's why it emphasizes the shear of the shekel before it even says Zayitnu. That's not true. Zayitnu kol ora pekudim achas shekel b'shekel kodesh. Kol ora pekudim. Yeah, that's why it says how much to give, and then it says who gives. It wants you to focus on the amount that's being given. Focus on exactly what's being given. What's the message of the half shekel? To really highlight the lesson of the half shekel. He says a couple lines later. Right? It should have been the other way around. It should have told us about the nesina and then how much to give. But no, I'm telling you the amount first. Because I want this image of the half shekel to be drilled into your mind and into your heart. That fiery coin from Tachas Kisei HaKavod. That's why Hashem presented it this way. Hashem wasn't trying to confuse Moshe how to physically make the coin. Hashem was trying to make sure that the lesson of the half shekel wouldn't be lost in the Nisina, in the giving of the half shekel. Okay. He goes on in the next paragraph. Take a look at the next paragraph. I'm just trying to get myself out of the sun a little bit. He goes on in the next paragraph. Derech Remes. Now we have to spend some time on this next paragraph because unfortunately this is a painful part of life. This might be a source of chizik for someone who needs this chizik, which is probably all of us on some level, some more personally than others. Uvederech remez tisbar al zeh aderech. Uvederech remez we can explain along this path. Ki ba kosov legalus nistaros la'Hashem asher yaseh ba'olam u'davar shakol rawa yitzma. When Hashem does something that everyone will question, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu does something in His world, Shekol Roe Yisma, that anyone who sees will wonder about. What is that? Bihilakach Ish Tzadik Yashar Kodem Zmano Yachasu Yamav Kemishpat Hamischayev Lanche Damu Mumirma V'yibalu Ra'ayone Ha'odam Lachshov Echad Mibeiz Drach. When you see that a person who is a righteous person, a tzadik, a yashar, and this person is taken out of this world in the middle of their life, he says, like a person who's sentenced to death, like a Russian who's killed prematurely, for his violations of Torah. And now you see a tzaddik, a righteous person, and one day they're gone. How could that be? And a person, it shakes, he says, it agitates the mind of a person to try and understand. And we often draw one of two conclusions. Why do righteous people die prematurely? That's a pretty big question. Well, here's a pretty big tzaddik to answer it for us. Says the Rechaim HaKadosh, O Yach Sheikh. Now, I don't know what Beis Mem stands. Do you have Beis Mem?
Bar Minan.
Okay, I have an abbreviation. Bar Minan. O Yach Sheikh Bar Minan. Osher HaTzadikim Ki Ein Tov Be'omo HaEloki. One conclusion might be, God doesn't know how to run the world. That Schar V'Onesh is off. That God sometimes messes up. That there's no justice. And that it's not worth it to be a tzaddik. Because guess what? For all your efforts, you know what you get? Nothing. So you might come to reject Schar V'Onesh. That would be pretty bad. Because even according to the Sefer Ikarim, even according to Rav Yosef Albo, if you don't go with the Rambam's 13 principles of faith, you go with the Sefer Ikarim's 3 principles of faith. Well, one of them is believing in Schar V'Onesh. That God knows what He's doing in terms of divvying out reward and punishment. So you might be so broken, God forbid, by this loss of a relative, of a friend, of a tzaddik, just a righteous person in the world. You might say, you know what? It's not worth trying to be a good Jew because I see the world is hefker anyways. One possible conclusion. O yachshov ki zeh ish, or you might draw a second conclusion, which is also pretty painful. O yachshov ki zeh ish matzpuno eino knigla mimenu. We might say that in the matzpun halev, in the hidden recesses of this person, the one who everyone thought was such a righteous person, the person's in fact a Rasha. And how do I know they're a Rasha? Well, because they died so young. So that must be an indication that they're a Rasha. Even though on the surface they seem like a good person, but it must be they did some really bad stuff in private. They must have been living a double life that we don't know about. Because otherwise, how do I explain God killing this person at such a young age? Doesn't make sense. So neither of those approaches are correct. To view the person who we assume is a tzaddik, right? There's no reason for us to reassess the person as a rasha. And to assume that God's world is hefker is also, obviously, childish and immature and shows a lack of understanding of a perfect God. The God that we believe in. So how do I wrap my head around such a terrible loss? Asher al kein amar Hashem ki sisa es rosh b'nei Yisrael. Perish. Im tira shi yistalik rosh b'nei Yisrael b'lo eis v'lo yala. Bekelach alos gadish v'ito. If you see that a rosh b'nei Yisrael, a leader of Klal Yisrael, a righteous person, has been removed before their time, v'lo yala bekelach. Anyone get what that reference is? I'll give you a hint. We had it in Parshas Mishpatim. In Mishpatim, he went through the 6 years of the Eved Ivri and explained that the 6 years corresponds to 60 years of life. And the Gemara Moed Katlan says that many people, the average lifespan is sometimes 60, Gematria Bekelach. So what he's saying here, he's hinting to that idea. He's saying, if you see a person dies young, they didn't reach 60. And then they reach David HaMelech Simeshin Oseinu Shivim Shana. Vim Begvuros Shmonim Shana. This person died young. And they were gathered in from the field prematurely. He's using poetic lashon. You know what the reason is? Lepkudehem. Kisisa is, again, totally B'derech Rambam. It's not the pshat of the pasuk at all. But he's saying B'derech Rambam is Kisisa is Rosh B'nai Yisrael. If you wonder why a Rosh B'nai Yisrael, a righteous person, a head of Klal Yisrael, a leader, a source of inspiration, a good person, was what Kisisa was taken up, was lifted up, was meaning taken out of this world, the answer is Lepkudehem. What does that mean, Lepkudehem? Aderech Omram, like it says in the pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Eshkol HaKofer Dodi Li V'Amru Chazal Ish Sha'akol Bo Hu Kofer Nafshom Shal Yisrael. The bigger a tzaddik is, unfortunately, the tzaddik sometimes is in position to be taken from this world as kapara for the Jewish people. Now that's an unfortunate reality. You might say it's not fair to the righteous person. I assure you that when the righteous person gets to the Olam HaEmes and they find out that they've been taken to spare pain from Klal Yisrael, because they're such a righteous person, they say it's well worth it. I understand that I had to be the carbon for Klal Yisrael. So the tzaddik understands, but it leaves all of us questioning. Well, how is that fair? How is that fair to us? Right? Now the answer is, we should feel pretty bad. Because we're the ones who caused it. If Klal Yisrael didn't need such a kapara, then the tzaddik wouldn't have been taken from the world. V'hu omru lifku dehem lashon chisaron. That shorish pei kuf dalid sometimes means a lack or a loss. Where do you see that? The pasuk says, "Bamidbar lamed aleph v'lo nifkad mimenu ish." After the terrible incident of Arayos over there, and they go out to war, right? And the soldiers come back, and the pasuk says, "Lo nifkad mimenu ish," that when they went out to fight, right, after that terrible plague that was caused by the Arayos in the aftermath of Bilam and Balak, when the Jews were seduced into all that Arayos and Baal Peor, etc., etc., and they go out to fight, and the pasuk says, "Lo nifkad mimenu ish," lo nifkad over there doesn't mean that no Jew was accounted. It means that no Jew was what? Was lost in battle. Lo nifkad mimenu ish means no man was lost in battle. So, what's the answer? Kisisa es rosh b'nei Yisrael. If you want to know why a righteous person was lifted out of this world, the answer is lifkudeham, because of a loss, because of a lack. What lack? Kilitzad chesron Yisrael. Sheneschayvu lezeh ani notel es roshem ba'adam lechofer nafshem shal yemusu kol Yisrael. Hashem says, I'm prepared to destroy Klal Yisrael. If I don't get something to appease me, if I don't get to see the goodness of Klal Yisrael, that's it. Hashem's going to bring a plague on the Jewish people. So Hashem takes what? A kofar, a kapara, a karban. Someone who can give a Kadosh Baruch Hu heavenly delight. A good person is called to bask in the presence of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and that kivyachol calms Hashem down. But it's lifkudam, it's because of our chisaron, it's because of our shortcomings that this tzaddik, this righteous person, needed to be taken out of the world. And therefore, as the psukim go on, what? V'nasnu ish kofar nafsho. And therefore, since you had this kapara, you really need to do kapara now. You need kapara now. Because this tzaddik died because of you, because of your sins. And he goes on and he explains again the rest of the psukim along this way. Very, very fascinating approach, b'derech remes. A little later in the paragraph, he goes on a different mahalach, and he says it could be that when we talk about donating money to the Mishkan, it also means giving money to Torah in general. And I want to just point out Or HaChaim HaKadosh Shir, which is kedai to know about, because there's a lot written about this question. Many, many achronim have written on this topic. And the question is as follows. When you make a Yisachar Zevulin relationship, let's say someone says, I will support you in learning, right? And you will learn. And then what? And then what's the end of the sentence? We'll split the reward. So are we really splitting the reward? Do we have to split the reward? Or we each get the full reward? So again, I can't direct you to this because it's two lines in the middle of the next paragraph, in the middle of this long paragraph. But he says, interestingly enough, he says, when a person does give money to Torah, he should realize that what? That you might think, Uvolo dio misha yito mehakodesh ba'ad machsis kaspo. Lo shi is naka michela kalomit. Vinimtsa kol echar ein biyadar ala machsis tzchar. You might think that when a person gives a donation in order to give half of his money for learning, you might think he only gets half the reward. Lo kein hu. Not true. Ki shekel hakodesh kafol hayim. Vinimtsa kol echar biyadar shekel shalim v'havim. The Shita of the Rachaim HaKadosh, and again there are many others who support this, hold that when you make a Yisachar Zvulun relationship, each one gets the full schar. Each one gets the full schar. Yisachar gets the full schar for the Limud Torah, Zvulun gets the full schar for the Limud Torah of Yisachar. Okay, they don't have to split the schar in the world to come. Unfortunately, for the Zvulun, he doesn't get much Olam Hazeh. Because what type of Olam Hazeh is a life in business, no learning? Like we said in the past, Olam Hazeh means the pleasure of Olam Hazeh is learning Torah. So in terms of Olam Haba, they both get full Olam Haba. In terms of Olam Hazeh, obviously, we feel bad for Zvulun, who's out at sea, is making money, while Yisachar is sitting in the tents of Torah. But again, that's the sheet of the Rachaim HaKadosh, and again, a lot of achronim weigh in on this topic, which would be a good Sunday shir for another time. Okay, go to Pasuk Yud Tes, tiny little piece. I'm sorry, go to Chaf Aleph. Skip your test. Go to Chaf Aleph. Chaf Aleph, Chok Ola. Pasuk says you have to make, the Parsha says you need to make a kiur. And the kiur is used to wash one's hands and feet in preparing for avodah. I think there's a good musar here. I don't want to skip it, even though it's just a short ha'ar of the Rachaim HaKadosh. But I think there's a very deep musar in this little piece. He says, Chok Ola, the Pasuk says that a person has to wash his hands and feet, chok olam. That's an absolute rule. So says the Ruach Haim HaKadosh, what if I just came out of the mikvah? What if I just came out of the mikvah? And I was matar myself from a bigger tumah. Do I still need to wash my hands and feet before I go into the avodah? Says the pasuk, yes. Chok olam. Chok olam. What does that mean? Chok olam. Afilu olam ibeis atvila. Shinis amritumah chamura. Chuka chaka kashem. Even if you just got out of the mikvah and you lifted yourself up from what? From a bigger tumah. You still have to follow this chok, this absolute rule of washing one's hands and feet. As the pasuk says, "V'rachsu yedem v'raglayim v'lo yamusum ha'isalem chok olam lo lazal l'dorasam." So Rachaim says, if you just got out of the mikvah, you still need to wash your hands and feet. V'lezeh hutzach lomar pambeiz v'lo yamusu ha'im lo rachasu. If you don't wash, hagam sha'olam itfila harehim b'misa v'lo to'il tfila. What's the mussar in this little piece? I think the mussar is sometimes a Jew, again, feels that he can make certain... He can cut corners in certain areas of Vodas Hashem because he says, you know what, I'm very particular about a certain big thing. So I can cut corners in some of the smaller things. I just went to the mikvah. So what do I need? This is mamash a korach de kasvara, right? I have a talis that's kulo tcheles. So what do I need a little tcheles string? And I think the message of the Torah here is, okay, so good. So you're makbid on a big thing. You're working on big tumah. And therefore what? So therefore you can give yourself a heter for little tumah. No such thing. Chak olam, you just got out of the mikvah, make sure you're still washing your hands and feet. Make sure you're being sensitive to the little things. Because again, it's often the little things that define the Avodas Hashem, the sincere Avodas Hashem of a true Eved Hashem. Okay. Let's go to Lamed Aleph Yud Gimel. Let's jump ahead a little bit. Lamed Aleph Yud Gimel. He has a lot here on the Inyan of Shabbos. Shabbos, of course, is highlighted in this week's Parsha. He tells us, Ach es Shabsosai. He has an interesting pshat. Ach es Shabsosai. Again, it's a little hard to identify some of these pieces. Look for the paragraph that begins, V'rashi Zal. Lamed Aleph Yud Gimel.
The bottom of Saf Ayin.
Okay, the bottom of page 470. Saf Ayin. Or Tuf Ayin, if you prefer. Okay. Now we're going to go a couple lines right before it says Virashi Zal. But before that, I'm just going to summarize what you missed. He has an interesting pshat. He says Ach es shabsosai tishmoru. He says an interesting thing. We know from the Gemara in Shabbos that pikuach nefesh is docha Shabbos. That means if someone's life is in danger, you get in your car and you drive them to the hospital. You do whatever you need to do to violate Shabbos in order to what? In order to save that person's life. So the Ruach Haim HaKadosh reads the pasuk Ach es shabsosai Tishmoru, right? That sometimes ach is always a lashon of miyun. So ach as shabsosai, sometimes by being mamayit Shabbos, you're actually guarding the Shabbos. He says that's exactly the svar of the Gemara. When the Gemara says, why do we allow pikuach nefesh to violate Shabbos? Because we say better to violate this one Shabbos and let this person live, so that they'll be able to keep many more Shabbosos, than to what? Than to let this person die. To save this one particular Shabbos. So Ruach Haim HaKadosh says, you see that sometimes Chilul Shabbos is actually Shmiras Shabbos. Which, now that's a dangerous svar. We can't apply that wherever we want and say, I'll allow myself this because it'll be better for me in terms of the big picture of my Yiddishkeit. There's a special dispensation here. But it's very much when Rumah is in the Pasuk, when the Pasuk says, Ach es Shabsosai, Ach es a Miyur. Sometimes by limiting the Shabbos, by making the Shabbos small, by taking away from the Shabbos, tishmor, you actually guard the Shabbos. Point number one. Now, a couple lines right before it says Virashi Zal, he writes, Ki os hi beini uveinecha. What does it mean? This Shabbos is an os between you and I. Between Hashem and Klal Yisrael. He says, the fact that we're machal Shabbos, to save someone's life, is an os between me and you. Between us, says the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Why? Beautiful. Look what he says. Perish. V'im kain, im ein shomer ein Shabbos. First of all, Shabbos is the sign between you and I. Is it me and you? You and I? Both right? I don't know. Let's speak English. V'im, right? So if you don't keep the Shabbos, then there's no Shabbos. That's the first thing you need to know. If no one's shomer Shabbos, there is no Shabbos. Point number one. Ki osi b'ni uveinecha. I exist, my Shabbos exists almost only as much as you make it exist. Point number one. That's why it's lasos is a Shabbos. You have to make Shabbos. But furthermore, he says, Ladas, What's the end of the pasuk? The pasuk says, "This is the sign between us." L'das ki ani Hashem mekadishchem. You know what Shabbos teaches? That you should know that I am God who sanctifies you. What does that mean? Which part of Shabbos teaches that? The fact that you can violate Shabbos teaches that. The fact that you as a yid with an neshama is more important than Shabbos teaches that I gave you a kedusha that's greater than Shabbos. However holy Shabbos is in your mind, you need to walk around every day of the week saying, I am holier than Shabbos. My neshama is holier than Shabbos. L'das kan nischakim Hashem lodiyah shekedushas nefesh Yisrael gedol mikedusha Shabbos. Why? Shezeh nidcha mepnei zeh. Because this one is pushed aside by that one. Meaning what? Shabbos is pushed aside by you. V'davar pashen hu shakotan hu anidcha mepnei agadol. The small thing is pushed aside by the big thing. So therefore you see very clearly that what? That a yid's neshama is greater than Shabbos. And that's l'das, that's the knowledge a Jew needs to take away from this pasuk. Ach es Shabbos tishmoru, the fact that Shabbos is sometimes made small to save your life, indicates l'das, that I am God who sanctifies you, that your personal sanctity, nishmas Yisrael, is greater than what? Is greater than Shabbos Kodesh. That's an unbelievable thing to say. That's an amazing idea. Okay, he goes on in the next page. If you turn the page, he talks about the importance of realizing what a gift Shabbos is. He quotes the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Yud Amud Beis. If you can see it again, it's a couple paragraphs later. Shabbos Daf Yud Amud Beis, where the Gemara says that if you give someone a gift, you have to let them know. So the Gemara says, Moshe, Hashem says to Moshe, Moshe, go tell Bnei Yisrael I have a Matana Tova. I have a very good gift, Bebeis Genozai, in my treasure house. And I want to give it to Klal Yisrael. Go let them know. So Gemara says, from here you see you have to tell someone if you give them a gift. So Reb Chaim says, how come Moshe wasn't told when he was given a gift in this week's Parsha that his face would be glowing? The answer is, because he would figure that out on his own. If it's a gift that you'll recognize on your own, you don't need to tell someone about it. So says the Reb Chaim HaKadosh, but Shabbos is something you'll recognize on your own. Shabbos, Gavaldik, a bowl of chulin, a little more time to sleep. Right? You get to free yourself from the ills of technology. It's Gavaldik. Shabbos is great. Who's not going to recognize the pleasures of Shabbos? So says the Rechaim HaKadosh, that's exactly why Hashem says, Moshe, go tell Bnei Yisrael, Shabbos is not about a nap on the couch. Shabbos is not about a bowl of chulin. Shabbos is about Neshama Yisera. Shabbos is about learning more Torah. Shabbos is about davening with more Kavana. Shabbos is about spiritual bliss. And don't get caught up in the outer. Yes, the outer trappings of Shabbos are beautiful, are very enjoyable. But go tell Klal Yisrael what Shabbos really is. That's how the Reb Chaim learns that Gemara in Shabbos Daf Yud Amud Beis. Okay, let's turn the page one more time, and let's go to Lamed Aleph Tes Zayin. Vishamru Bnei Yisrael Es HaShabbos. Lamed Aleph Tes Zayin, and go to the second paragraph. Od Yirtza Al Derech Omro. A famous piece of Reb Chaim HaKadosh. There's many of the Sfarim HaKadoshim. Lamed Aleph Tes Zayin. Pitch Tough Ayin Dalit, Vishamu Bnei Yisrael Asa Shabbos, the second paragraph. Said Od Yirtze, second paragraph. Od Yirtze. Quotes a pasuk in Bereishis Lamed Zayin. This is a famous Torah from the Reb Chaim HaKadosh. And again, there are many other tzaddikim, Sefer Chassidus, that bring the same idea and develop it. The first one. Od Yirtze Al Derech Omro, Va'aviv Shamar Es HaDavar. Vishamru Bnei Yisrael Es HaShabbos. It doesn't only mean that Bnei Yisrael guarded the Shabbos. V'aviv Shamar Es HaDavar. When Yosef told Yaakov Avinu his dreams, and Yaakov says, Yosef, what are you talking about? But in his heart, he was Shamar Es HaDavar. He guarded the matter. It means what? Rashi says he looked forward to it coming true. He knew Yosef's dreams would come true. Vishamu Bnei Yisrael Es HaShabbos means what? That a yid has to look forward to Shabbos. Not just to guard the Shabbos, not to mechal Shabbos. But when you say, Hayom Yom Rishon B'Shabbos, Hayom Yom Sheini B'Shabbos, Hayom Yom Shlishi B'Shabbos. To really think for a second. That when you go to the supermarket and you see a good item, and you buy it and you put it aside for Shabbos, or you start thinking on Wednesday, what am I going to do this Shabbos? What's the Shabbos going to look like? Where should I daven this Shabbos? What sefer should I learn this Shabbos? I love taking a sefer off the shelf and leaving it on the table and saying, Shabbos morning, I haven't looked at the sefer in so long, Shabbos morning, I'm going to have the pleasure of learning the sefer. To to be thinking about Shabbos, to looking forward to Shabbos in small ways. Perish mamtin mitzap and masai yavo. To think, when's Shabbos going to get here already? Vakavana mezeh litzav shelo yesh Shabbos kedavar torach. Litzad minias malachas ratzon umitzoh hachefetz. Not to say, oh, Shabbos is so hard because on Shabbos I have so many other things I need to do and now I have to take a break from all the studying I need to do and all the papers I need to write and all the phone calls I need to return and all the emails I need to check. So don't say, oh, Shabbos is a burden, I'll do it, but it's a burden. What do you mean? V'shamra b'nei Yisrael is Shabbos. Be excited for Shabbos. Be excited for the Gashmis of Shabbos, be excited for the Ruchnis of Shabbos. Lassus is a Shabbos. Lassus is a Shabbos, he says, Lishlol ha-kavana k'chofitz mitzvah ha-Shabbos l'margoa ha-guf u'la'ona g'sher yiz'anig el-etzad ha-siyas mitzvah ha-Shabbos. Lo le-tachlis ha-margoshos. Don't just look forward to the relaxation of Shabbos. Look forward to the mitzvahs of Shabbos. Lassus is a Shabbos. Right, to think about how I can make Shabbos, the asiyas ha-Shabbos. How do I make Shabbos into a holy day? What am I going to do for Shabbos? What am I going to do to make Shabbos special? He goes on in the next paragraph, and he says maybe the Vishon B'nai Yisrael HaShabbos, Lassus HaShabbos, is a Torah reference to Tosefes Shabbos. Interesting. We know there's a mitzvah of Tosefes Shabbos, to add on to Shabbos. This might be an indication, a source, that hints to the importance of adding on Mechol El HaKodesh, to take a little bit of Friday, to turn it into Shabbos. Lassus HaShabbos. Vishamu B'nai Yisrael HaShabbos, to make Shabbos. Not wait for it to make itself when it arrives, but you make Shabbos, make it early. And he says in the next paragraph, to become a partner with Shabbos. Lassus is a Shabbos. He quotes the Medrash. Shabbos cried to Hashem, I don't have a partner. Every other day of the week has a partner. I'm the odd man out. Hashem says, Klal Yisrael will be your partner. Lassus is a Shabbos. To be married to Shabbos, to be connected to Shabbos. In the next paragraph he says, make sure other people keep Shabbos. V'shama b'nei Yisrael is a Shabbos. Make sure, don't say, oh, I keep Shabbos, that's good enough. No. V'shama b'nei Yisrael is a Shabbos. Make sure that everyone is keeping Shabbos. So again, there's a lot that's contained in just a couple of words. V'shamru b'nei Yisrael es ha-Shabbos. So much packed into a small little phrase. Okay? If you jump ahead, and again, I'm sorry, these are just tiny little varlach. It's hard to indicate exactly where they are on the page. But if you jump ahead to the paragraph that begins, O Yirtza Lishon Dira. As Jojo pointed out, there's a lot of Od Yirtzas. It's probably like the 10th one. The last one, before Va'omru Beinu Ve'Bnei Yisrael. He says, Od Yirtza, he says, Lidoro Sam is a Lashon of Dira. Right? That Shabbos should be a Dira. It should make Shabbos a dwelling place. But I want to show you the Remez that he brings, because we pointed out a couple weeks ago that there are about six places in the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh where he brings Gematrias. And here's one of them. He says that Shabbos is called a Bris Olam. Bris, he says, is Gematria 612, as if to say that Shabbos is keneged all the other mitzvos. That the Bris, all 612 mitzvos, are dependent upon Shabbos. He says, Ulai sheyirmas ba'omru Bris olam letaryag mitzvos, that the Gematria of Bris, he says, is Tav Reish Yud Beis, 612. V'kulam tluyam b'Shabbos harei taryag. And all 612 are dependent upon that one mitzvah that everything revolves around, which is Shabbos. V'lezeh samach tevas bris olam. Lomer ki al yedei shmira Shabbos, hu mekayim kol taryag mitzvos. Shehu shakol kenegdam. That Shabbos is equated with all 613 mitzvos. And therefore it's called a bris, to hint to that idea. Okay. It's getting late. Is our guest coming?
10:15.
10:15, great. In Perek Lamed Beis, the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh begins to, as the Psukim begin to describe, the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh gives us his Shita on Chedah Egel. His Shita on Chedah Egel. What exactly happened with Chedah Egel? How much is Aaron to blame? Aaron's life was threatened, he says. Aaron was trying to delay. Aaron, even though he said we should do this, the Aruch Chaim says that by Yomer he said, but in his heart he felt differently. Right? He was trying to stall, but what was Klal Yisrael thinking? Let's try to find a more, again, it's a horrible avla no matter how you slice it, but let's try to find a mahalich in Chedah Egel that's less bad. Again, the Medrash, he quotes the Medrash that maybe it was only the Erev Rav were involved in Chedah Egel. He says, Pashup Shat's not like that. But what exactly was the nature of the sin? And can we try to take some of the severity out of it? So if you look in Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk Aleph, In the third paragraph, Asher Yelchu Lifaneinu. Okay, take a look. Asher Yelchu Lifaneinu. You should be able to find it. Perek Lamed Beis Pasuk Aleph. Asher Yelchu Lifaneinu. Tuf Ayin Ches. Page Tuf Ayin Ches. In the top right corner?
No, bottom left.
Bottom left corner. Okay. I was trying to guess based on your eye movement. I guess I failed on that. Okay, the Pasuk says again. Pasuk says, Vayar ha'am ki boshesh Moshe lared. This has been hard. The people saw that Moshe had delayed in coming down the mountain. And Klal Yisrael gathered against Aaron. They threatened him, perhaps, according to the Archaim HaKadosh. They threatened his life. And they said, Kuma say lanu Elohim. Let's make for ourselves an Elohim. I'm leaving that loosely translated for the moment. Asher yelchu lifaneinu. That's the key. Asher yelchu lifaneinu. That will what? That will go before us. That will walk before us. What's the pshat asher yelchu lifaneinu? Says the Aruch Haim HaKadosh. They didn't not believe in Hashem anymore. You'd be silly to think that the Jews stopped believing in God. Asher yelchu lifaneinu dikdik lomar lifaneinu. We want something that we can see with our eyes. Peirush litzad ki Hashem hamotzi osam eretz Yitzrayim hu nelam. Because Hashem is concealed, because Hashem is hidden, because it's hard to have a relationship with an invisible God. Try to remember the name of the book. Maybe it's called The Invisible Book. We have a beautiful Jewish kids book at home where it goes through like all these invisible things in our life that we know are real, like the wind. I can't see the wind, but I can feel it. And it goes through all these examples, like what holds the balloon together? How is the balloon able to maintain its shape if there's nothing inside of it? Right? And it goes through all these things, basically trying to help you to understand that, yes, that there could be something that's very real, even if your physical eyes can't see it. And that helps to understand, to perceive a God, to perceive a Kadosh Baruch Hu, even though you can't see Him. So he says, but Klal Yisrael were frustrated. We want a God we can see. We're tired of the God that we can't see. They wanted an intermediary, and it makes a lot of sense. Because until now they said, we had an intermediary. Moshe was our intermediary. Now that was a little bit of a misunderstanding of Moshe's role. That's why we dafka emphasize at the Haggadah that Hashem took us out, not a malach, not a shliach. But they thought that Moshe was sort of the middleman between them and Hashem. And they thought that with Moshe no longer being here, maybe the Egel could replace. And that was a mistake. But again, it wasn't a rejection of God. It was just we want to have some type of physical manifestation to help us to remember that there's a God. To make it easier to perceive the invisible God. And he goes on with this Mahalach for quite a bit. In Pasuk Vav, I'm just going to summarize the last couple pieces outside because I want to allow our guests to speak in the next 2 minutes. So I'll just tell you outside. But in Pasuk Vav, and then we'll read maybe one tiny little piece inside, one final piece. In Pasuk Vav, he says, why didn't Hashem send Moshe down sooner? Chaver, why didn't Hashem send Moshe down? We had a problem here. Why didn't he send him down before the 40 days were up? So cancel. He was supposed to be in Shemayim for 40 days. So come back down sooner to break up the Egel. Hashem didn't send down Moshe, says the Rechaim HaKadosh, in a long piece in Pasuk Vav, because of Pardes HaTorah, because Torah has Pshat, Remez, Drush, and Sod. There are four different ways to understand Torah. Pshat corresponds to the world of Asiya. He says, Drush, Remez corresponds to Yetzira, Drush to Bria. Sodos HaTorah correspond to Atzilus, the highest world. And each of those four worlds is made up of 10 spheros. So how many days does it take to acquire all 40 levels of Torah? Pshat, Remez, Drush, and Sod, the four worlds times 10 spheros, 40 days. Hashem in His kindness said, I'm not selling the Jews short. They might have a Cheira Ega, but I'm not taking away one bit of the depth of Torah. And the reason that we're able is we have a Karas HaTov. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though the Egel was a big disgrace, and Hashem probably, mitzad his own kavod, would have liked to call off the Egel, but Hashem wanted to make sure that we would have chassidus to learn. And therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I have to let Moshe learn, all the dimensions of Torah. And it takes a full 40 days to transmit the 40 dimensions of Torah. Okay, I guess I'll just conclude with one final piece. Let's go to Lamed Gimel Yud Aleph. Is our friend outside? You can tell him to come in. So tell him to come in. Tell him we're finishing. Just go to Lamed Gimel Yud Aleph, one of the most beautiful psukim in the whole Torah. What does it mean to have a relationship with the Kodesh Baruch? And with this we conclude. Lamed Gimel Yud Aleph. Shalom Aleichem.
Thank you, Arikami. I'm on your game speak like you all the time.
We're very excited to have you with us. Give us 2 more seconds. We're just finishing up one last piece. Okay, page Tav Tzadi Gimel. The pasuk says, "V'ra kol ha'am es amar anon omid pesach al moed. V'kam kol ha'am v'ishtachvu ish pesach alo. V'diber Hashem el Moshe panim el panim." Says pasuk Yud Aleph, Hashem spoke to Moshe face to face. You forget that this is actually a pasuk in the Torah. Hashem spoke to Moshe face to face. Sometimes people say, you know, I feel like Hashem is my friend. So someone trying to sound from says, oh, we don't talk about God like that. God's not your friend. Really, God's not your friend. Hashem spoke to Moshe face to face. Hashem is supposed to be your friend. Like Moshe spoke to Hashem like a person speaks to a friend. What does it mean to speak to Hashem face to face? Says the Rechaim HaKadosh, Hakavana b'zehu, kafi shir ha'achana shaya osa Moshe lakbalas p'nei shechina. La'oso shir tia asaga mipanim elyon. To whatever degree a Jew prepares himself to have a face-to-face encounter with Hashem, like we learned at the beginning of the Orachayim, whatever degree you present yourself face-to-face with Hashem, Hashem will be face-to-face with you. Hashem is your shadow. If you want face-to-face, if you want to talk to Hashem real, if you want to open up, you want to have a resichos chaverim with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem will be your friend. Ki kafi asher yachin adam atzmo, to whatever degree a person prepares himself, l'ashpas ha'kedusha, yasig. To whatever degree you make yourself a kli to be makabel, you will receive. And that's why it says, kasher yadaber isha re'eyu. Like we learned, if you remember, we had this piece. That sometimes, remember Yosef and the brothers? That they were sensing, they were able to sense, even though they didn't recognize him, but the hearts were connecting in a deep way. He says, kamayim panim el panim, kein leva adam la adam. The way you feel about someone is the way that they feel about you. And therefore, if you want to feel Hashem's love, then you have to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu back. Kasher yadaber ish al re'eyu, he says, ki kafi asher yachin ha'adam libo, le'ahov chaveiro, kamo kein yizbonein lev chaveiro le'ahov asam. To whatever degree you really open up and channel feelings of love towards a friend, the friend will channel it back towards you. And he says it's the same thing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then he concludes with something that is a really big secret. How do you know if you're doing well in Avodas Hashem? One of the hardest questions. We don't get report cards. We don't know how we're doing. So how do you know if you're doing well in Avodas Hashem? He says the same thing that the Shemi Shmuel writes in Bereishis, that the Kedushas Levi writes in Mishpatim. He says, you want to know? He says in the last 2 lines, Me'at yavchin adam, a bechina, a test. How is a person doing? Mahu imkono. What does Hashem think of you? Im levavo yisava v'yachshok b'Hashem uv'avodasam. Hinei zasimin ki Hashem aheva. If you're fired up about your Avodas Hashem, if you're feeling passionate about your Avodas Hashem, if you're feeling connected, if you feel you have a right to talk to Hashem, and you are talking to Hashem, and you feel that you're excited to be a Jew, then that's a sign that what? If you feel the way about Hashem, then Vada Hashem, kivyachol in his heart, feels the same about you. Kamayim, panim el panim, kein leva adam el adam. But if your Yiddishkeit is cold, if you don't have that matbeya shel esh, like we said at the beginning, if a Yisrael, a Jew supposed to be on fire, loses his Eish, Yisrael minus Eish is a Malik. Then we're in a bad place. Shekar chabaderech. So Mirtz Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us to be fiery Jews. To be Jews who, again, who know they don't need an emtza'i, you don't need an egel to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You can talk straight to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You can makabel the luchos directly with all their dimensions that Hashem wants to give us. To learn Torah in all of its dimensions. To be deeply connected to Hashem. To be on fire for Elokus, and to remind ourselves that when we mess up, there's a pirud, there's a separation, but we have to get back to that yichud, that half shekel has to be reconnected to the other half. And Amir Tzashem will have that deep relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu and give a lot of nachas ruach to the Borei Olam. Shkayach.